I'm happy that you're here today for Bible study. It's my sincere hope that you experience in your soul, as a result of your investment of time here, the love of God the Father, the courage of God the Son, the sanctifying power of God the Holy Spirit, and the obedience of the manifest member of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of the truth with which your soul will be edified. In preparation for our study of the Word of God, it's time to make a voluntary shift in your mindset. You can ask yourself a very simple question. What thought pattern am I allowing to influence me right now? Is your soul tuned to KCOS, the cosmic system of thought? Or is your soul tuned to WGOD, the divine system of thought? This request for a mental shift gives you the opportunity to make an evaluation and to tune your soul to the reception of biblical thought, which the Bible refers to as renewing, as you prepare for the teaching of the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Ephesians 4:23 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And so right now is the time to let the Lord Jesus Christ prepare you in humility to receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "We believers in Christ are God the Father's workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus for divine good works, which God the Father prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." So there's little for us to do in the Christian way of life except learn what the predetermined steps are that our God has placed before us, and then to have the courage to walk in those divine good works that He established for us in the past. So let's get ready to learn about these good works that each of us as believers in Christ will be called on to perform at God's request. And let's hear June Murphy prepare us for the study of the Word of God by worshiping our Lord in song. The opening song is Worthy.
Christ is worthy. Worthy of honor, He's worthy of
place. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to enjoy the freedom of the spiritual life. Show us the simplicity of worshiping you. Help us to understand the balance between your provisions and our activity in the spiritual life. Direct our focus to your Son. Make us aware of our motivations so they're always in line with obedience to your plan. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Let's see what's going on here. Hang on. I love computers. My slides aren't changing. Might have to restart this. Yeah. Well, how have you guys been?
Great. How have you been?
Well, it was really good until about 30 seconds ago. My computer decided to check out on me. All right, so while it's booting up, I'll tell you a little bit. So where was I? Was I welcoming you? Where was I? Did I finish it? I didn't finish it. I was saying, welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Oh, I got to put my password in here. You know, not everybody can do what I'm doing right now. You know that? Like, it takes a really special skill to be able to just be comfortable and ad-lib while everything is falling apart around you. You know that? Yeah. That's my broadcast background. We were unflappable. All right. Let's go, PowerPoint. Yeah, no kidding. I hope... I want to open my porn collection. That went out to Australia. There go the donations. All right. There it is. All right. Where's that little clicker, Denny? There it is. Ah, we're back in business. Thank you, sir. Yeah, so let's start all over again. No, we're not going to start over. Well, welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Pastor Rory Clark, and you're listening to Lesson 420 of the Creator-Creature Conflict Series. Welcome to a ministry designed for serious students of the Word of God. Today's study, the Creator's will, is that you enjoy your spiritual freedom. The Creator's will is that you enjoy your spiritual freedom. So here's a thought from our non-resident congregation. One of our members said, I have studied and studied this year's lessons. They have hit my soul like sweet, refreshing summer days after a long, hard winter. Amen? Well, amen?
Amen.
All right, both of you guys, say it. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Philippians. My favorite letter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what it says. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, believers in Christ, continue to rejoice in the Lord. Keep on rejoicing in the Lord. That's what we feel in our souls. When we feel like what's going on in our soul is a sweet, refreshing summer day after a long, hard winter. We rejoice in our soul. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard for you. Philippians 3:3, we church-age believers in Christ are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God. And the correct translation on that is who worship God in spirit and glory in union with Christ Jesus and put no, not never confidence in the flesh. We never put confidence in the flesh. The double negative in the Greek to say absolutely no confidence in the flesh. And so perhaps it's worthwhile for you to hear some of the same things again that we have been talking about over the last several lessons, messages from the first 12 lessons of this year, along with their biblical backup, to be certain that the messages are clear in your souls so that you remember exactly what it is that God the Holy Spirit has been saying to you. Because, you know, you can get confused and think that I'm the one sending these messages to you. I am not. God the Holy Spirit is sending these messages to you in spirit. And so everything occurs in His timing. You know, if you think back to the time that you were 10 years old, and you think to the time that you are the age you are right now, there was a big gap in that time. And you would have to say that your understanding of life at 10 years old is quite different than your understanding of life is where you are now. You know, if you're 30, 40, 50, 20, whatever it is, you have a very different understanding of life now. And that different understanding of life is called maturity. And so, you know, there's nothing that you should be doing in the matter of what we've been studying, the doctrine of rebound and refuting the doctrine. There's nothing you should be experiencing except joy that you're maturing. You should not be feeling bad because you were deceived or, you know, wondering how you could do this and blah, blah, blah. It's so easy to just click onto autopilot. It's so easy. And it's not profitable. You see, from 10 to 40, you're to grow. As a Christian, you are to grow, and your understanding of the Christian way of life at 40 should be vastly different than it is at 10. Problem is, a lot of adults have locked into a set of beliefs that they had when they were 10 years old, and now they're 40. And they're still operating as if they're a 10-year-old. Amen? But that's not what we're called to do in life, and it's not what we're called to do in the spiritual life. I remember that at 47 years old, I had to upgrade my image of myself because I was still operating like I was a 28-year-old salesperson who had never sold anything when I was a world-renowned consultant in customer development. And you just get into a habit and into a pattern and you don't upgrade your image of yourself and realize that you're not the person you were 10 years ago. You're not the person you were 20 years ago. You're a completely different person. And it calls on you to have a completely different understanding of today. But we get locked in the same old mental pattern, and we get locked in our conversations about ourselves. And that's one of the things I notice about believers in Christ. We always have a story. We always want to talk about how it was. Well, see, I was raised in doctrine, and I came up, and then I went away, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we all did. Why are we so married to the story? Yeah, the Jews were in Egypt. They were in slavery, and then they crossed the Red Sea. They were saved. An impassable barrier was opened for them by God. And then they went across, and then what did they do? They went right back into slavery in the desert. They didn't change. They were just saved now. But they were still in slavery because slaves love slavery. And then they got to the promised land. It's the same with us. You know, we love slavery. That's one of the reasons why we're in it so much. We love it. We love giving our life to somebody else. We love putting our money in mutual funds so we don't have to look at it anymore. We just let somebody else manage our money. And then when the mutual fund goes from 100% to 50%, we come out and say, oh, how did that happen? It happened because you turned your back. That's how it happened. And that's exactly how your spiritual life is. You turn your back on your spiritual life, and then all of a sudden you're believing crap that has nothing to do with this, nothing to do with the Bible. That's how it happens. And you turn your spiritual life over to somebody you trust. You don't want to turn it over to me. You don't want to turn it over to me. But I tell you what, if you do turn it over to me, here's what's going to happen. You're going to constantly be changing. Because I'm going to constantly be learning and growing and constantly be searching and refuting things and finding new things. You know, the spiritual life isn't about new. There's nothing new under the sun. That's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. It's not about new. You don't come to a Bible study and you say, well, sure, I hope he says something new today. What you hope I do is drill you and drill you and drill you and drill you in the same 10 things so that you don't forget it under pressure. And that's exactly what happens if you play basketball. What does the coach do? He brings you in and he practices you every day. What do you go in and say? Oh, we got to dribble again? Do we have to learn how to dribble again? Yeah, because you're going to be dribbling in the game. We have to learn how to play defense again? Yeah, because you're going to be playing defense in the game. And every year you ought to be getting better and better and better at defense. And frankly, that's not what happens, is it? That's not how our life really is. Because we're complacent mentally. We're complacent Christians. And that is not the Christian way of life. That is not alive and powerful. So it's worthwhile, I think, to hear the things again that the Holy Spirit has been saying to you through these lessons and through your reactions to them. It's easy for me to see how false doctrines proliferate. We get a thought about something in the Word of God. We run with it without checking to see what the Bible has to say about the matter. And heaven forbid that a pastor does that. Because if a pastor does that, you're in trouble. I can't tell you how many times during my study I have been in an expedient mode where I've got a little time to get a lesson finished, and I yank a verse out, and I put it in, and I say, this verse, and then I go look. I go do the exegesis, and I go, oops, what I was about to say is totally off base. Thank goodness I checked. You ought to always be checking. So I invite you to reflect on a series of questions posed by our study so far. I invite you to remind yourself of what God the Holy Spirit has been asking you and to settle this matter in your soul. All right, one question for reflection is this: to whom have you been giving your spiritual loyalty? To whom have you been giving your spiritual loyalty? Because our loyalty is to God and His Word. Reflection and self-examination on a regular basis is useful to remind ourselves not to place our confidence in men and in tradition. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this: make it a habit to test yourselves, to see if you're living in the sphere of faith, in the sphere of the Word of God. Prove it to yourselves through the examination. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves in self-examination, that the Lord Jesus Christ is indwelling you, unless indeed you fail the test by proving that you're not in the sphere of the Word of God? So we are to reflect constantly on our lives. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this: beloved, that's believers in Christ, you are beloved by God. Don't ever forget that. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. See, you have an enemy who wants you to believe certain things. And I'm telling you, when you go into that spiritual closet of yours and check out the coat hangers that you have hung in there, 90% of what you have hung in your soul are absolute lies that you just are comfortable with and operating with. And you need to do a cleaning. You need to go in there and do a spring cleaning. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing harder in the world to do than a spring cleaning, because there's just stuff that we've accumulated that we're committed to and we just don't want to throw it out. Haven't worn it in a year, haven't looked at it in a year, haven't cared about it in a year. Yeah, but we're going to keep it. And then next thing you know, you're a pack rat. Now, we are spiritual pack rats too, because we got stuff hanging in the closet of our souls that we put in there when we were 10. And it's time for them to go. It's time to throw them out. They're no longer useful. Test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because a lot of spirits are not, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. You have bought things. You know, it always fascinates me to watch believers in Christ when I'm talking about God. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about how wonderful He is, how much He loves you, how amazing it is that you're a saint and positionally sanctified and all that. And here's the look. But you let me talk about Satan. Oh, man, y'all start leaning forward. Oh, Satan, tell me all about Satan. You start leaning forward and getting all excited. Why? Because that it matches what's in your spiritual closet. Because that's what you do to yourselves all the time. You don't think about your magnificence. You don't think about your benefits. You don't reflect on those. You reflect on all the things that are wrong with you. That is a spirit in you that's telling you that, and you listen to it, and you believe it, and you emotionalize what it's saying to you. You absolutely believe that you're horrible. Heaven is going to be a shock for you. It's going to be an absolute shock at how cool it is and how much God really loves you and how all the things that you were obsessing about, that you think he's concerned about, he never was. Oh, how will I lay up treasures? How will I lay up my treasures, my rewards? Do you honestly think you affect your rewards? You do with your decisions, but do you understand that God already put the rewards away in the Hall of Records in heaven long before he created you so that it wouldn't look like he was bribing you? They're there already. God wants you to have them. So what is this obsession we have with our own power? We don't have any power except the power that's been invested in us by God. And so what are we to do? Walk in the steps that were divinely ordained in the past. And that's why I can't wait till next week. I want to talk to you about the difference between light and darkness, because they have nothing in common. Light and darkness have nothing in common. And Satan always makes it seem like his plan is so close to God's plan. His plan is as close to God's plan as Siberia is to Phoenix. They're not close. They're dramatically different. So, you know, why are we obsessing about all that stuff as opposed to understanding the simplicity of what God has done for us? Beloved, that's God's affection. Listen, come here, babies, come here. Don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see if they're from me. Because there are a lot of false prophets that have gone out in the world. Don't listen to everybody. Isn't that gentle? God's awesome. He's so awesome. And it's just so relaxing when you really get God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, God the Holy Spirit explicitly says that in every generation, some believers in Christ will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and paying attention to the doctrines of demons. When you hang the doctrines of demons in your closet, you will fall away from the faith. Why? Because the doctrines of demons are designed to erode your faith. The Christian way of life is so simple: faith, hope, and love. Faith in God, putting your absolute confidence in God, and therefore having absolute confidence that everything that happens to you is going to be awesome. Not everything happens for a reason. No, that everything is going to be worked together for your good. Not just if you're mature. It's a lie. It's if you're a believer, everything that God does is designed to work together for your good. And then love, having unconditional love for everybody just like he does. And so see, falling away from the faith happens when you have too many doctrinal coat hangers in your closet that are lies, and it creates this doubt in you that you're what you are. It creates doubt that you're a saint, doubt that you're holy, doubt that you're blameless, doubt that you're a priest, doubt that you're an ambassador, doubt that you have absolute righteousness imputed to you, doubt that you're going to heaven when you close your eyes in this life. There is no doubt. None. Eternal security means absolutely secure. And the person that you're putting your faith in, God, is absolutely the victor. It's not in doubt. Doubt should not even be in your vocabulary. No doubt. But we pay attention to deceitful spirits. Liars. That's what deceitful spirits are. Liars with lying doctrines. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 says, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead ones, and Christ will shine on you. There it is, dark, Get out of the dark. Get into the light. Gloria Estefan, after she had that bus accident, right? She had a bus accident, almost lost her life a long time ago. And she came out with a song, right? Coming out of the dark. I finally see the light now shining on me. You love my singing, don't you? Amen? Amen. No, you don't. Shut up, June. Come out of the dark, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead ones, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful the lifestyle that you wire up. Don't wire up a lifestyle of doubt. Wire up a lifestyle of faith and hope and love. Don't walk as unwise men in the dark, expecting to go down the alley in my neighborhood without getting hit in the my old neighborhood without getting hit in the head with a baseball bat. Don't walk as unwise men, but as wise, not in the dark, in the light, making the most of your time, for the days are evil. Making the most of your time. Enjoy your life. Enjoy it. Have fun with it. Who is your God? That's a great question for reflection. Are you a spiritually dead, condemned unbeliever with no hope and no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 say this. Oh, don't tell me this again. I can't understand what this is. Oh, wait, this may be off. It got red. How do you get it green, Denny? That must be what I'm doing. I must be hitting that lock button. That ain't it. Did anybody bring a handgun so I can shoot myself in the head? Man, this drives me crazy. Yeah, exactly. Throw something at it. Exit the show. Okay, that was good. I exited the show. Hollow point for all of it. Okay, I got it now. I'm going to have to reboot next time. Give me a fist. Fist me. Thank you, Deacon. What happened? Oh, is the aspect ratio off? Okay, we'll get it on break. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 says this, therefore remember that formerly you, believers in Christ, when you were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, that's the Jews calling the Gentiles the uncircumcision, which is, and they were referring to the circumcision that is performed in the flesh by human hands on the eighth day. Each male Jewish child is circumcised on the eighth day, and it's a funny story why God had that happen. Ephesians 2:12, remember that you were at that time when you were an unbeliever, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's an unbeliever. No hope, helpless, no relationship with God in the world. Or, so you're an unbeliever in the dark, or are you a Christian? A believer in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are, 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds you, if anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers are, first class condition if in the Greek, you are a new spiritual species. The sovereignty of the old things passed away. They died. The sovereignty of your old self has died. Behold, new spiritual species things have come. That's where we're headed. We're headed to the place where we learn what these new spiritual species things are. What is this Christian way of life that we're destined to live? Another question for reflection is this. What is your source of truth? You're being encouraged not to be a comatose, check-the-box closet Christian, and instead to be a serious student of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord so well that he will be qualified to instruct him? But we believers in Christ have the minds of Christ. Do you understand that in China, this is not happening, what you see right here, where a Bible is just laying around out in the open? Do you understand that in China, that is not happening? You don't, I guarantee you, unless you've been to China. We are taking this for granted, that we got about 9 Bibles free of charge waiting back on the table for somebody to take. And we got a Bible laying right out here, and we got Bible software right here, and we can go on the internet anytime we want to and download Bible programs. But when I go over to China, it's awfully hard to get Barah Ministries. It's awfully hard to sign into that website. You know what it's called? Censorship. They're not free. And if you're wondering how 2 billion people don't just come over and take over a country of 300 million, that's why. It's just like the Super Bowl today. If 2 teams are pretty equal, take the one that's got God on their side, Ravens. It's going to be a blowout. And it's gonna, just go to bed at halftime. It's going to be over by that time. Amen? Yeah, I don't care about all y'all shaking your head with your red on. You just put your money where your mouth is. If you got all that talk, just get your money out. That's all I'm saying. Be a great contribution to Barah Ministries. So Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 10 say this. We believers in Christ are to walk as children of light. Why? Because that's exactly what we are. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Learning it and then executing it. Another question for reflection. What is your part in the creator-creature conflict? That should immediately, hearing that question should immediately say one thing to you. I'm important. God picked me for the creature-creator conflict. I'm important. There is a creator-creature conflict according to Romans chapter 1, verse 25. And you're invited to play a part in it. Here's what it says. For they, unbelievers, exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature, either Satan or self, rather than the creator who's blessed forever. Amen. Yeah, that's what you have a chance to do. The creator-creature conflict allows you to worship Satan or self, or to sign up for the team of the creator. As believers in Christ, we're on the team of the creator, and every once in a while we want to go back and worship Satan or self. But that's dead to us. There is a God, one God, existing as 3 separate and distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the provider who created a plan for divine history and established its objectives. God the Son, who in his very person is the provision of a distinct advantage for all creatures. We have the victory. God the Holy Spirit, who is the illuminator of the path, that narrow road provided by God the Father as the tactician in the Father's plan. He does the detail work. God the Holy Spirit does the detail work of personalizing the plan of God for your life. You have a personal plan for your life, not just a generic plan. And then there's the Lord Jesus Christ, the uniquely born one, 100% God, 100% true humanity, and one person forever. He is the manifest member of the Godhead. He prototyped the plan of God the Father. His life proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the plan of God works regardless of the circumstances of adversity or prosperity or impending physical death. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who lived a life in perfect obedience to God the Father. He invites you to follow suit. Question for reflection. Who is the enemy of your spiritual life? Who is the enemy of your spiritual life? And we know that God has an enemy who doesn't want you to get to know God and who doesn't want you to learn God's word. Satan wants you to have a misperception about who God is. So every time you're wondering if God is mad at you and God is upset with you and God is disappointed with you, he has succeeded in hanging coat hangers of doubt in your spiritual closet about the person of God. God doesn't worry about you. He isn't disappointed with you. He loves you unconditionally. So 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be of sober spirit and be on the alert, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What does he want to devour? Your perception of God, your understanding of the truth, your life, your marriage, your family, anything he can. He wants to eat it. He wants to eat it up. Joshua 24. Oh, next question. What side are you on in the creature-creator conflict? And Here's what Joshua says. If it's disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me, Joshua, and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you get to choose sides. Have you taken advantage of the cross, that thing that separates the sinner from sin? Have you taken advantage of that? Next, question for reflection. Where do your soul's spiritual loyalties lie? Where do your soul's spiritual loyalties lie? For Barah Ministries, the year 2013 will be remembered as a time when we realize that there is more to the spiritual life than regurgitating the company line of doctrines as taught by pastors of our past. It is the realization that God the Holy Spirit is speaking to churches today through different pastors. And today's pastoral voices are intended for your advance in the spiritual life. Do you understand that? That when you were 10, you had one teacher, Miss Jolly. You know, I think in third grade when I was 10, I had Miss Jolly. And the first day of school, the first day I saw her, I transferred to a new school and I saw her and I went in the classroom and said to this girl, man, she looks like the ugly duckling. And of course it was the teacher's pet I said that to. Teacher's pet raises her hand, Miss Jolly, that new boy said you're the ugly duckling. And she said, well, he's not so handsome himself. And she said, come here, little boy. And she moved my desk right up in front of her desk. And there it parked. And she is one of the best teachers I ever had. Her son was just a little older than me, so she used to give me his clothes. And she was just awesome. She taught me how to write. And she was hard on me the whole year, but she loved me. And she and my mom got along. It was just funny. But anyway, I called her the ugly duckling. Isn't that great? So look, at 10 years old, you get one set of teachers. But then when I was at Northwestern, I had David Zarefsky. You know, Dr. David Zarefsky, who had a 900-page dissertation and taught me persuasion and argumentation. See, your teachers change over the time. So when you're in college, you don't go back and ask Miss Jolly to teach you. So the pastors along our path, each one of them has something to contribute, and we take that, and then we keep moving. And we keep going to the pastor that our soul responds to, and we don't jump all over the place. And I'm telling you, I'm so sick of hearing about Christians who are flitting all over the place from ministry to ministry. Make a commitment. Do you understand that other churches don't operate that way? Do you understand that there are Christians who stay in one church and orient to that church? Do you understand that? It's like the people who study with my pastors don't understand that. That's a new concept to them. And every time you say, you know, that's not what you're supposed to be doing, you need to land somewhere and commit to it. Yeah, because you think that a church is an app. And the more apps you have on your phone, the better. A church is not an app. A pastor has authority over your soul, and he's designed... to lead your soul. What is it like for the person who's listening to a pastor who's teaching Rebound and listening to me? What's that like? And I'll tell you exactly what it's like. They think I'm crazy. Well, good. Go back to your pastor who's teaching that and stay away from here. This is another place. We're moving on. We pulled it up. We looked at it. It's got holes in it. The Bible doesn't support the doctrine. We're moving on. And we're going to move on and see what else we got hanging in our soul that's not supported by the Bible, too. Oh, yeah, you ain't finished. We're going to clean closets out this year. We're not finished. And it's your closet and it's my closet. So you start feeling you're sorry for yourself, you think about me. And then that should calm you right down. So, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, verse 3 reminds us of a very important thing, and that is this. I am afraid, Paul says, that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So, last thing, and I'll give you a 5-minute break. Yesterday, I was studying 1 John. chapter 1. And next week, we'll probably get to it. I've been promising we're going to get to it. But next week, we'll probably get to it. And so I was studying three different commentaries on the subject. Oh, what does confess mean? And what is fellowship? And what is the filling of the Spirit? And what's the indwelling of the Spirit? And all this crap, right? And I'm reading all these commentators, and I'm getting a headache. Just getting a headache. And some of you have ventured out into that ball game. You know, you say, all right, well, if he taught me rebound, he doesn't know what he's talking about, so I'll go off on my own and I'll start studying the commentaries. And it's actually been funny because the people who have done that, they said, I'm not a pastor. I got to get out of here. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the same thing I feel. I am a pastor and I feel like I want to get out of here. So I'm studying these three commentaries and it's just brutal. Brutal study, because you got to be asking yourself, okay, is this guy a believer or an unbeliever? Is this person good in exegesis or not? Are they being faithful to the text? And you got 16 books on your desk, and you're doing this. And I did that for about 4 hours on 10 verses. And then I just got up and walked away and got something to eat. And then I just sat there. And I just released the frustration. I released the energy into the, I released my energy into the universe. And you know what? The answer just popped. The answer just popped out. Here's how to explain it. And I just sat down and started typing. So that's God, the Holy Spirit. He just wants you to do the work. And then once you do the work, he'll say, okay, here it is. It's this simple, man. Yeah, but what about the doctrine of kenosis and the Nephilim? No, just forget about that. It's this simple. Just tell them that. That's amazing. And this stuff that we are so tied up in and so strung out about is so simple. So simple. Same with the filling of the Spirit. Found out yesterday what the filling of the Spirit is. It's so simple. What is it? Come back next week. And by the way, take a 5-minute break. I'll tell you next week.
And if you order now.
No, but wait. We'll double it. You pay shipping.
Just a cup of water was all that I needed. All alone in my darkness I pleaded for someone to answer my call. Then your love washed away all the pain. The moment I called out your name, you filled up my heart.
Welcome back. No. Welcome back. Another question for spiritual reflection. I got the peanut gallery up here. Hey, go into the rewards thing again. Yeah, no, you don't start getting to... We got a plan here. All right, so question for reflection. Does your spiritual life feel like freedom? Does your spiritual life feel like freedom? Great question, huh? For Barah Ministries this year, 2013 is also a shift away from legalism, from mental slavery, from dead works, from self-sufficiency, to a Christianity that is alive and powerful and sharp and piercing. Christianity is alive and powerful and sharp and piercing. It's not dead. Galatians 5:18. Oh, here we go again. Exit show. Come back in the show. And then go. Now, I have no idea what that is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18 says, if you are led by God the Holy Spirit, first class condition if in the Greek, and all of you believers in Christ are led by the Spirit, you are not under the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law was a form of slavery almost, because it showed people that living by laws doesn't work for people with sin natures. Now, can we obey laws? Of course we can. But think about the laws that you put on yourself when you make New Year's resolutions. You can't do it. You know one of the worst experiences in life? A fasting blood sugar. A fasting blood sugar. Like you gotta fast for 8 hours before you do blood sugar. All right, so if I get a fasting blood sugar at 7 a.m, that's awesome. I give that a big thumbs up because I just get up and I go and it's done. But if it's at 9 o'clock, that 2 hours or 3 hours when I'm up, that is the torture of hell, right? Why? Because you want to eat and you can't. It's almost impossible to live under those rules. The sin nature, which didn't care yesterday. You could have done the same thing yesterday. And as long as there's no fasting blood sugar, you could go 3 hours without eating. The sin nature says, I don't care. But you put a deadline or a can't in place, and boy, you go crazy inside. You put a have to in place, you go crazy inside, and you know it. That's the way it is. Have to is slavery. What do you want to do? Do you want to be led by the Spirit, or do you want to do it on your own? If you want to do it on your own, you're insane. You're not that good. Let God the Holy Spirit do it. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, the sin nature shall not be sovereign master over you believers in Christ, because you're not under the Mosaic Law, slavery. You're under grace. What is grace? Freedom. But grace is tremendous responsibility. To be constantly taking advantage of God's grace, which is exactly what He wants us to do, is a tremendous responsibility. It is not license. And nobody who is mature thinks of it that way. If somebody's being gracious to you, you don't want to take advantage of them unless you're absolutely stupid. Because there aren't that many people in this life who want to be on your side. Let me tell it to you that way. You get somebody on your side and now you start taking them for granted. How stupid is that? That's a self-sabotage of the ultimate magnitude. And I'll tell you, when a Christian's doing that, I'll tell you exactly what's going on in their head. Man, Satan's after me. Satan's making me sabotage it. Satan isn't making you do crap. You aren't even on Satan's radar screen. You're doing it with all your relationships. Clearly. Sin nature is not master over you. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ set us free. Therefore, keep on standing fast in the freedom and don't ever be entangled again in the yoke of slavery. We are not to be entangled in slavery. We are not to be afraid. Stop worrying about anything. We were not given a spirit of fear. Stop being a slave. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. all the things that we do as a matter of course. Don't doubt. The peace of Christ, the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension. Let that garrison your heart and your mind. All the things that when we hear it, we go, yeah, well, that's a nice theory. But excuse me while I go beat myself up again. For Barah Ministries, the year 2013 is a shift away from the traditions of men to occupation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ through the daily study of his word. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, psychology, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world system of thinking, rather than according to the thinking of Christ. How about marriage counseling? And marriage counseling has some value. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to talk something out with an objective third party. But who are you talking it out with? Are you talking it out with somebody who's going to tell you the truth about the Word of God? Are you talking to somebody who's going to say, let me tell you, buddy, what you're trying to do. Let me tell you, girlfriend, what you're trying to do here. Let me tell you what strategies you're running. Your house is divided. It's not going to stand. The Bible says it's not going to stand. You better get on the same page. You're going to have somebody marriage counseling you who's going to tell you that? No way. You're not going to want that. As a pastor, I can't tell you how many people have left this conversation because I told them how they are. I learned very early in my ministry not to be talking to you about your personal life. Learned, because you don't want to hear it. And when you hear it and you don't like it, you're going to blame the person that said it. You're not going to blame yourself. Because when you get all self-absorbed, all you want to do is get around people who tell you what you want to hear. Agree with me. Come on, agree with me. Yeah, well, why don't you go to the Word of God and see if it agrees with your philosophy? It's time for us to grow up. There are a lot of things I want to do that God doesn't want me to do. I don't want to hear it. You better hear it. Because at a point in your life, you just realize you're wasting your time going down that road because there's nothing at the end of it but dead end. And then unhooking from that long, dark road is brutal. Well, it's really easy for believers in Christ to become entangled in the same deceptions in which unbelievers find themselves entangled. Here's what Mark chapter 7, verse 6 says. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees and scribes, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Mark 7, 7. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Mark 7, 8. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men, Mark 7, 9. And the Lord Jesus Christ was also saying to the scribes and Pharisees, you are experts at setting aside the requests of God in order to keep your tradition. And William Newell says this in his work on the book of Romans. He says, those attached to and entrenched in tradition will always be found fighting for tradition. Even amongst the most earnest Christians, the temptation and the tendency have always been to seize upon those truths emphasized by the leaders of the sect they follow and claim those truths and principles as their own. That is not the spiritual life. You don't sit waiting for your teacher to give you a sound bite, and then you run off with the sound bite. And then that becomes your spiritual life. How many Christians have you ever heard saying, oh, I can't believe how you just come off the top of your head with those Bible verses. I can't memorize Bible verses. What are you talking about? That's exactly what the Christian way of life is. It's about getting these verses into your big, thick head. That's exactly what it's about. So that the mind of Christ is your mind. But what are they doing? Excusing it right away. Oh, no, I just don't have time to work that hard. Right? But you let them have anything in the secular world that needs memorizing, they got it like that. Right? They memorize every command of every video game on the planet, but they don't have time for Bible verses. Okay. Question for reflection. Are you a serious student of the Word of God? Serious students ask questions. Acts 17:11, now these believers at Berea were noble-minded, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They questioned Paul. Serious students of the Word of God live the new self life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, verses 22 to 24 say this. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. KCOS. Instead, be renewed in the spirit of your thinking, Bible study, and then put on the new self, WGOD, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. Created for whom? Created for you. Serious students of the Word of God know, grow, and show. They know. What does that mean? They grow in the sphere of grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They grow. Prove yourselves to be doers of the Word and not just hearers who delude themselves. And then show. Does it show? Test yourselves to see if you're in the pistis. See if you're in the faith. Prove it to yourselves that you are. That's right, 2 Peter 3:18. Grow. Galatians 5:16. I say, walk by means of the enabling power of God, the Holy Spirit, and you will not, in fact, can't never carry out the desire of the flesh when you're in the new self. James 1:25, one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer of the word, but an effectual doer of the word, living the Christian way of living, this man will be blessed in what he does. Automatic. It's automatic that when you orient your life to the mind of Christ and you operate the way he wants you to operate, it just works for you. I had a situation in my life where I was just negative to the way I knew God wanted me to handle it. Just negative to it. And just this morning in the shower, I finally let go of my stubbornness about it. And it's so funny because the whole world opens up to you then. It's just so freeing because it's so enslaving to hold on to the crap you hold on to. And so every time I was in Bible study, that thing I was holding on to kept coming up for resolution. Hey, yeah, did you see that right there? Yeah. And that applies right to that situation you're holding on to, that resentment you have. Yeah, I see that. Can I get on with my study now? No, why don't you just resolve that right now? Yeah, no, I'm not ready to resolve it. All right. No problem. Just hold on to it then. Carry that big old suitcase on your back. You're lucky we ain't United Airlines. You'd be paying $150 for that suitcase. And I put that luggage down. It's so much lighter. That's the benefit of going in your spiritual closet and cleaning it out in there. It's lighter. There's more room for stuff. If your garbage can is full, there's no room for more garbage. You got to dump the garbage can. Make room for other stuff. Another question for reflection. Are you a friend of God? And how would you know if you are? Because God wants his believers to be his friend. John chapter 15, verse 14 says, you believers in Christ are my friends if you do what I command of you, what I request of you. Third class condition if. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You have a choice. Okay, you want to go back to rewards, dog? All right, let's go back to rewards. So, you will be my friend if you do what I request of you. All right? That's all he wants you to do. Now, how does that connect to rewards? I got to work to get my rewards. It doesn't connect. The rewards are already there. God wants to give them to you. cease striving and know that I'm God. I want to give them to you. Because I don't want to be a loser believer in heaven. There aren't going to be any losers in heaven. That's a ridiculous doctrine. It's ridiculous on a magnitude that can't even be described in words. Because how bad is the worst ghetto in heaven? It's heaven. Absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. How bad can it be? You're going to get rewards. And you're going to be quite human as you do it. Think about your friends. Are your friends hoping that you trip up? Yeah, well, I know there are rewards I can give you, but I hope you fall. Does that sound like a friend? I mean, just on a human level, that doesn't even sound like a friend. And God is so much different than that. That's why I'm telling you, salvation was the big thing. Rewards, flea on a rat's butt. It's a little thing. Relax. Amen. Yeah, honestly, we're 9.9 on the sphincter scale. Honestly. We are so tight. That's not Christianity. It's not. No. Namaste. Namaste. All my yoga friends are going crazy now. Yeah, namaste, man. Next question. Are you clear in your soul how much God loves you? Oh, that's ironic that that's right there, isn't it? Almost like God wrote it. Are you clear in your soul how much God loves you? Because God loves you unconditionally. And if you miss that, it skews your whole viewpoint of God. It skews your whole viewpoint of his word. And it skews your whole viewpoint of the spiritual life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says this. Here we go again. I'm going to throw this computer away this week. Does anybody want it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Emily, I'll have it. I don't use PowerPoint. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The one who does not love unconditionally does not know God. For God is unconditional love in his very person. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have come to know and have believed the unconditional love which God has for us. God is unconditional love. And the one who abides in unconditional love abides in God and God abides in him. Funny thing about 1 John. You know, the word confess appears there, appears in that letter one time. The word love appears in there about 90. And what are we obsessing about? Confess. Confess. Can I lose the filling of the Spirit? No. No. Say it.
No.
God wants you to love unconditionally as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. You've heard this a million times at weddings, right? Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels but don't have unconditional love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, we are simply blowhards and fools if we miss the power and the importance of the unconditional love that is the bedrock of the plan of God. You know, we people who put this in their wedding put it there because they think that's about personal love. It's unconditional love. That love you have when you come home and your spouse is having sex with your best friend on the coffee table. Yeah. That love. Unconditional. It's comforting as we ponder these questions in our souls to know how patient God is with us, how he lets the creator-creature conflict play out. What's the point of this whole thing? The point is he lets it play out and we learn. He gives us time to learn, time to grow. And even when we fail him, and we do, and even when we fail him, our God will never turn his back on us. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, if we believers in Christ are faithless, first class condition if, and we often are, God remains faithful. Why? Because he cannot deny himself the stroke of genius at the moment of salvation is that God imputed to every believer in Christ his own righteousness. And he will never turn his back on his own righteousness in you. Unconditional love. When you're faithless, he is faithful. Right, June?
Amen.
Closing song, he's been faithful.
In my moments of fear,
Thank you, June. Hey, I just want to say one more thing before we get out of this lesson. One of our deacons is having a tough time emotionally right now, Deacon Elliot Clark. And I just want to share some behind-the-scenes stuff with you about him. Probably one of the best people I've ever met. And most definitely on the path that God has chosen for him. Yet, the only person I've ever seen that's harder on himself is me. And I probably infected him with that. So he's really hard on himself. And he's going through a tough time right now. But one of the cool things that I've seen when he goes through those tough times is how quickly he recovers by using the truth that's in his soul. But you guys don't see the things that these guys who are serving you all the time go through. And I've watched, you know, I've assembled a team of three men that I would take a bullet for. They're amazing men. And it's not obvious to you at this point that they're amazing men because we really haven't had a lot of challenges that we've had to face so that you can see their amazingness. I mean, the biggest challenge that we had was the God's Men Conference, and we had two deacons at that time. And you got to see what that was like because they both got up and cried their eyes out because they gave all of themselves to the effort. And so I just want you to know that it's not just me who's standing on the wall for you. You know, there are three other amazing men, and Van as well, who are standing up for you and fighting for you. And they go through a lot of things in their souls, a lot of self reflection, and it's really hard for them in their souls. And Deacon Elliot's going through one of those times right now, and I just thought I'd share that with you because, you know, it's one thing for me to tell him that he's an amazing person, and it's one thing for me to tell him how much I appreciate him, but it's also important for him to hear that from other people than me, because when I tell him, he kind of discounts it a lot of times. But I think if you think he's amazing, you need to tell him. And during those times when we're in that place, and all of us get in that place, that's when we have to get it that God is on duty the most. Because he doesn't need our self-sufficiency. When we are weak, that's when we're strong. And that's not what we think in our heads. We think that's the worst time. That's the best time. The best thing you can do is look to the heavens and say, you know what, God, I can't do it. Because God specializes in the impossible. And all he wants is that moment when you say, you know what, I can't do it. And then all kind of things open up to you. It's amazing. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. Because the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, and he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for being strong when we are weak. Thank you for specializing in the impossible. Thanks for a plan that takes into account our weaknesses. I pray that all those who are on the other end of this message go into their spiritual closets and through your agency do a cleaning and realize in their souls the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And we pray that that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.